Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tabitha Ricketts, and I would like to say welcome to each and every one of you tonight. Tonight, this is our second episode with Blog Talk Radio, and I am really excited to be here. Tonight, we're going to be discussing transfusions and blood donations. However, before we get started, we just had our 38th annual Sickle Cell Road Race and Walk. It's over with. We're really excited that it's over. Clap, everybody. We're excited that it's over, but I must tell you, we had tremendous success. So we had approximately 1,000 people registered that participated. We raised about $65,000, which is very exciting as well, because as everybody knows, that we utilize that money to help fund and help send children to the first and only sickle cell camp in the state of Georgia. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you that participated. But we also want to say a thank you to our sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't have had such success. So the city of East Point, Rhonda Appleby, I just must tell you, thank you, thank you for your relentless and your hard work and your efforts. We also want to say thank you to Wellstar, UPS, RRCA, and Fulton County, and for all of our government officials that came out to support us both in East Point as well as the city of Atlanta. We want to say thank you as well. Board members, we want to say thank you to you. You showed up. You supported us. And so we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to our next year's race. So we want you to stay tuned, because certainly within the next 2 weeks, you will be receiving a link with a survey as well as a discount code to go ahead and do early registration for 2019. We want to say congratulations to our first, second, and third place winners on both the 7K as well as the 4K walk. So I want to say congratulations to Raymond Green. You are lightning fast, so congratulations for being in first place. We have Travis Curtin, second place, and we also have Michael Nelson, who came in third place. So congratulations to our 7K runners. We also want to say thank you to our walkers, and they became first, second, and third as well. So first place for our walkers, we have Sherilyn Weaver, first place. We also have Regina Barnett in second place, and we have Acacia Butler in third place. So thank you guys for walking. Yay. Okay, so let's go ahead on and get started with tonight's show. I'm really excited, and I have the honor of introducing Jackie George and Beverly Sinclair. They're both certified hemoglobinopathy counselors here at the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. They both possess over 30 years of experience of being an employee of the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. 30 years, guys, that's a long time.
It is. I have a lot of great habits.
They hold a vast degree of knowledge as it pertains to sickle cell. And ladies and gentlemen, so I want to go ahead and first kick off the show by turning it over to Miss Jackie George, who is going to talk about transfusion. So Jackie, thank you for being here, and you can go ahead and take us away. So tell us, Jackie, what is this transfusion all about, and how does it relate to sickle cell?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for listening in on for us tonight, and we really did miss you on the race, so we'll see you next year, 2018. But as far as transfusion, before we get started, I want Beverly wanted to say something, a little something about something called hemoglobin.
Okay.
Well, hemoglobin is the substance that's found in the red blood cells that gives the red blood cells its color, but it also carries oxygen throughout the body. And persons who are needing transfusions, is because a lot of times their hemoglobin levels are low. And so depending on the level of their hemoglobin, the doctor will do transfusions to bring that hemoglobin level up. So that's very important. Hemoglobin is very important to us. And as we talked about it early in the earlier talk shows, there are many different types of hemoglobin. But then what's important is the amount of hemoglobin that a person has. So it's very important to have enough hemoglobin, because if you don't, you are anemic. So that's very important to have the right hemoglobin levels in order that a person is not severely anemic. And if they are anemic, if they're having any type of surgery, the doctor's going to check your hemoglobin levels to make sure your hemoglobin levels are high enough to do the surgery. So that's very important.
Okay, so the key thing as far as transfusion is concerned, a brief definition, and all these little points that I want to make are going to be very, very brief. But for individuals with sickle cell disease, sometimes they may need more blood or a different type of blood. In other words, someone that does not have sickle cell.
Okay.
In other words, a person that's normal. To give them a blood transfusion, as Beverly just said, to bring up their hemoglobin level.
Okay.
And when that happens, when a person is given some blood, that is called a transfusion when they get blood. So that's one definition of what transfusion is. There are many reasons why a person may need blood. As far as a sickle cell client is concerned, they may need blood for having severe anemia when their blood count drops very low, as Beverly just said a few minutes ago when we're talking about hemoglobin levels. So that would be one thing that a person with sickle cell disease will need blood for. Persons that have what they call a sequestration or a splenic sequestration crisis. What that is, there's an organ in the body that's called the spleen. And the spleen is located on the left-hand side of on the upper part of the left-hand side of the abdomen or the stomach. When the spleen, a lot of times what happens, sickle cell blood will pool inside it, and it'll make that spleen swell. Now, you can't feel the spleen because it's located behind the ribs. But when this incident occurs where you got that spleen swelling and you got all that blood, it will push out from behind the ribs. The reason I'm bringing this up because this is a life-threatening situation. So individuals with sickle cell disease may need a blood transfusion. And the other thing about this sequestration crisis in children, if they're less than 2 years old, they don't like to, in some cases with a person with sickle cell disease, they may have to remove the spleen. But if a child is under 2 years of age, they don't like to do that. So those individuals may have to have a blood transfusion because of the sequestration crisis. Another problem that may require a person with sickle cell disease to have a blood transfusion is something called an aplastic episode. And that's when the body stops making new red blood cells, such as like if you have an infection or so,
okay.
It may stop making red blood cells. Another example would be life-threatening problems like a stroke or pneumonia. Individuals that have sickle cell disease, some individuals are at high risk by having a stroke. When you're little or a child, they will do something called a TCD, a transcranial Doppler. That instrument is a tool that measures how fast the blood will go through the blood vessel.
Hmm.
If it goes faster than normal, then you're at risk for having a stroke.
Oh, okay.
Those individuals are put on something called chronic blood transfusion.
Oh, okay.
But again, they don't like to do, if you're a child, they don't like to do or to remove the spleen unless you're past 2 years of age. So children under two will get blood transfusion. And if they did, again, this is a life-threatening situation, so persons could die.
Okay, so Jackie, just tell me, how is it determined whether or not a person needs a transfusion?
Okay, so another problem, one way would be with life-threatening problems, as I've said, also with pneumonia.
Okay.
If a person has pneumonia or some, that would be another way you may hear it called ACS, acute chest syndrome, and that's an infection in the lung. They may need to have a blood transfusion.
Okay.
But remember, as I said, when they've got that, a lot of times with children, they would do that TCD. So that will determine if a child needs a blood transfusion. And as a person gets older, they do that in increments in so many years, they would do that TCD to monitor that. Also, men or young boys or males can have something called priapism. What that is a prolonged, painful erection of the penis. And that's associated with individuals that have sickle cell anemia or sickle cell disease. So there are a lot of reasons why persons with sickle cell disease may need to have a blood transfusion. And if Beverly or Milford, Dr. Green, is there anything else you would like to add to that?
Yeah, I think you covered it more than adequately.
And as Beverly said earlier, too, just to add one more thing, is surgery. A lot of times, you know, you may have to have surgery, and it's not a severe surgery. You may do little stitches if you cut, you know, little stitches and things like that. But sometimes a person with sickle cell have to have surgery, like removing the spleen or something of that sort. Then they will be given blood transfusion to make sure their hemoglobin level is high enough for them to be able to survive the surgery. Now, the other thing that, if I may at this time go into, there's more than one type of transfusion.
Okay.
There's something that's called, the two types are a simple or an exchange transfusion. A simple transfusion is most common. In other words, you may go in a hospital and it involves getting a set amount of blood and they give it through an IV.
Okay.
So a lot of times, a person with sickle cell may just have a simple blood transfusion. But the other, the exchange involves giving a set amount of blood at the same time that you're removing that set amount of blood. So that's called the exchange. And this is the best way to increase blood flow and decrease the amount of sickle cells that's in the body.
Okay.
So there are two different types of blood. So you've got the simple and you've got the exchange.
Okay.
Yes.
So one of the things you have to be careful of, course, is to overload the volume. You want to make sure that you maintain a set volume of blood in the body or fluid in the body, because you can quickly overload if you are not careful to take out the same amount that you're putting in.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the other thing, what's important about a blood transfusion is there are some complications associated with blood transfusion.
Such as?
One would be like infections.
Okay.
Example would be receiving blood from a person that may have had, they may have hepatitis.
Mm.
But now receiving an infection is very rare.
Okay.
Because they screen this blood very thoroughly for all types of infections, like as I said,
HIV,
West
Nile virus,
right.
Hepatitis, all of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they make sure that the person that's given blood has been screened,
mm-hmm,
to make sure that there's no problem,
mm-hmm,
for the person that's going, for the sickle cell client is going to receive this blood transfusion. Another challenge would be something that's called alloimmunization. That's a big word, but all is a tongue twister. But what it means is that when a person receives blood transfusion, they, and especially one that I was telling about earlier, that chronic blood transfusion, those that may have had a stroke, that they have to have a blood transfusion,
mm-hmm,
every month.
Mm-hmm.
With this alloimmunization, when you get so many blood transfusions, then you develop something called antibodies. And this can lead to being more difficult to receiving blood, because you have to make sure that the blood you're receiving is compatible with you.
Okay.
Now, those that are listening, if you would just take your hands and just put them like together, and you'll see that they kind of match up. But if you switch those hands and just like turn them upside down, you see that they don't match. That's what can happen with alloimmunization. You've got these antibodies, so the blood is not matching up, and it can cause some serious health problems. You can't, it's not compatible.
Okay.
So you can't receive the blood. So it makes it very difficult for those individuals that are on chronic blood transfusions. They got to have this blood every month, or they could have a stroke, or they may, and if you have one stroke, you're at high risk for having another. That's why a lot of those individuals that have had a stroke on this chronic blood transfusion.
Okay.
Another challenge that could be, you could have an allergic reaction to getting blood transfusion. Like, it can cause rash, it can cause hives, or itching. So they have to be alert to that. Now, when you're in the hospital, they're going to make sure, they're going to monitor you very, very closely. But it's also important for individuals, you know your body. So if you see your body, you start itching or you're feeling uncomfortable, you need to let those individuals know in the hospital immediately. Because this is a reaction to a blood transfusion. So you need to let them know immediately.
Okay.
The last thing that I would like to talk about is something that's called iron overload. And again, I keep referring back to those individuals that have chronic blood transfusion or those that get blood transfusion every month. When you receive a lot of blood, you also get a lot of iron in the blood or in the body. Iron is something that's stored in the body, so it's not easily removed. So what has to happen, and you get that buildup. So what individuals that have this blood, chronic blood transfusion, they have to take a medication. It's called J-New. And that's associated because it gets that iron out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get the iron out of the body, it can destroy body organs. It can cause problems for the heart. It can cause problems for the liver and other body organs.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Those are some things that's associated with blood transfusion. But it is very, very important to understand that individuals with sickle cell, first of all, let me say this. They only do blood transfusion when it's necessary. It's not something that it is due all the time.
So it's not like an elective option that people get to choose from, and every time they feel like they're having a crisis or anything like that. Okay.
And the key thing, too, is that persons with sickle cell anemia need to know their hemoglobin level. In other words, let's say if it's your normal hemoglobin level, maybe 8.
Mm-hmm.
Where for people that's normal, maybe 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
But 8 is normal for you. That's important. Let's say you go out the country, and Lord forbid you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go in and do a hemoglobin level on you, and it's 8. They may want to give you a transfusion when you don't need one.
Oh, I got you.
So it's not necessary. So you need to, you know, to have this blood transfusion.
Right.
So it's going to be very, very important for individuals that have sickle cell disease to know their hemoglobin level.
Okay.
Because that's extremely important. We've had incidents where people have gone out the country and this has happened to them, and they were trying to explain that they didn't need it. But, you know, so it's going to be very, very important because everybody is not educated well enough in some other countries and some in maybe a little small rural area what to do and what not to do as far as transfusion is concerned.
Okay. So, Jackie, I want to come back to the question that I had asked earlier. You know, how is it determined if a person needs a transfusion? Who makes that decision? Does a doctor make the decision? Do you make the decision? I mean, who determines and what determines if a person needs it?
The person that determines whether a person needs a blood transfusion or not is going to be your physician.
Okay.
The things that would determine, as I said, if your person has had a sequestration crisis, the swelling of the spleen, if they have the hemoglobin level go down is real low, or they have if they have had a risk for a stroke or at risk for a stroke, if they have pneumonia, young men, if they have the prior prison, the erection, if they've got to have surgery. So those are things that can be associated with why a person with sickle cell would have to have a blood transfusion. But no, it's not left up to the individual.
Okay.
And they, if you got a close relationship with your doctor, and, you know, you can talk to them about exchange transfusion because a lot, some are familiar with it and some are not.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, Jackie, I also want to ask you, what's the importance of transfusion in sickle cell patients? The patients, what's the importance of it?
Well, it's a life-sustaining process because some individual, if that hemoglobin level goes down too low, they could die.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If it has those infections and it's not taken care of, you know, the body, first of all, a person with sickle cell's body is not at the same level as a person that's normal.
Okay.
So they're already at high risk for having infections and things of this sort. So this is just a safety precaution or precaution that enhances life. But again, they don't want to do it if it's not necessary. And Milford, would you chime in, please?
Just one of the things I wanted to point out is that you have sickling going on in the sickle cell patient, which means that they're low generally in the amount of hemoglobin that they have. So it is the amount of hemoglobin and the hemoglobin globin oxygen carrying ability that determines that. So if that's low and you're not getting oxygen to all of your tissues, that's one of the things that's going to drive the need for transfusion.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Let me ask you guys this question. It may sound kind of out there, and I know somebody is on the line and may be listening to this. When you have a transfusion, can that cure sickle cell? So now I got new blood coming in. It's taking the old blood out with all these sickles. Am I healed now? I don't have sickle cell anymore?
Tabitha, no, that doesn't cure sickle cell.
Okay.
When you're talking about the red blood cells, normally red blood cells live 120 days, but the body continues to make that. But they live 120 days and they, you know, die off. And persons with sickle cell, their red blood cells tend to live around maybe 20 days, 10 to 20 days, and they die off. And even if you have a blood transfusion, your body is still going to continue to make those sickle cells. So when you have the blood transfusions and you get the normal red blood cells, that's just temporary. They're going to live 120 days and they're
going to
die. So your body is still making the sickle cells, okay?
Wow.
So that's not a cure for it.
Okay.
It's like if you want to say a cure for maybe the sequestration crisis or if they're going to have the low hemoglobin, it's temporary.
Okay.
Generally, why it takes about a month. It'll last you about a month, and then you'll have to go back in because it's something that's going to trigger more sickling, and the individual is simply going to need more oxygen-carrying power, and the only way to get that is to have new beautiful biconcave discs called red blood cells.
Would you think about this, though, for a second? I asked this question. I just thought about something that's kind of critical to this. So do we have people that are literally getting transfusions every 120 days, 30 days, or 60 days because that now has become a process or an effective way for them to feel good?
Well, again, this is something that's done on the basis of what a physician has determined in terms of the health of that individual.
Okay.
No, it's not just something you can go in and order.
Oh, okay.
It's something that's going to be ordered by the physician based on your clinical profile at the time.
Okay. Okay. Wow. I mean, I learned something so exciting and new every single time I listen to you guys talk and educate us. And I'm sure that people online, and we have quite a few people lit up tonight, they are also enjoying the conversation because they called in and they are still hanging here with us. So thank you for that. Jackie?
Just one other thing. A lot of times since when I said earlier about how a person with sickle cell, the hemoglobin level can be lower than a normal one.
Mm-hmm.
The unique thing about sickle cell, even though this is a chronic disease and an illness, the body can adjust to that low level of sickle cell. And when I say low level, I mean being from normal 10 to 12 for a normal, for a person that doesn't have sickle cell
mm-hmm.
disease, but the body does adjust to that 8 hemoglobin level for a person that has sickle cell disease.
Okay.
It's amazing how the body will adjust.
Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you, Jackie. That was very informative. I mean, it was quick. It was to the point, and I think it was simple enough that most people are listening tonight. You know, we totally understand, which now leads into the segue of talking about donations, blood donations. And I'm really excited, ladies and gentlemen. We have here with us tonight Dr. Milford Green, and he's the Director of Health and Clinical Services here at the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia, and just a wealth of knowledge himself, you know, a vast areas of expertise as it relates to sickle cell analyzing data as it relates to it, you know, running our day-to-day, our lab here that, you know, we test individuals for sickle cell. And so Milford has, well, Dr. Green, I'm sorry, I say Milford because, you know, he's my friend, but he has been here with the foundation for about 4 years. And he's going to talk to us tonight. I have some questions as it relates to donation of blood. And so, Dr. Green, thank you for being here with us tonight. We had another young lady, Ashley Singleton, that was going to be with us at the last moment. She had a terrible flu bug. So Dr. Milford Green, you know, said, yes, I'll sit in. And, you know, he has the knowledge. So, again, thank you, Milford. So, Milford, we've been hearing all this talk about blood tonight, transfusions, how important it is. But now, as I sit here and I'm thinking about it, you can't do transfusions without blood.
So we need people to donate blood.
We need people to donate blood.
Absolutely. And we want everybody to consider giving blood. Blood is not something that you do just once in a lifetime. And a lot of people may do it once, but blood is something that you might want to think about making a regular kind of donation of blood. And, of course, the younger you are, I hate to say it, but it's true, the better the blood in a sense. So young people, in other words, after you hit in your mid-40s, we're not after your blood as much as when you're young. So young people need to be giving serious consideration to the possibility of donating blood. Who can donate? Anybody, with the exception of somebody who is ill, perhaps due to an infection. We certainly don't want to take blood from a sickle cell patient. But people, even people who have sickle cell trait, can donate blood. So virtually all people, with the exception of those who are ill with infections or have sickle cell, can donate blood. And we make a special appeal to people who know sickle cell individuals, members of their families, their friends. Those are individuals who live with and understand the people and the difficulty that they have when they have this disease. So we make a special appeal to those individuals. Recently, during our road race, we had an educational program which took place during the course of the race. So at different mile markers along the race, we had various questions. At a very short distance thereafter, we answered those questions. And among those questions is, well, who can donate blood? And of course, as I've told you, we can have pretty much anybody who can donate blood. So unless you have some sort of an infection like HIV or West Nile virus or hepatitis, and there are several others, we would not want those individuals to donate blood. But blood is screened very, very carefully. We're not as confident about blood. We weren't as confident about blood between 1975 and 85, but since that time, blood is undergoing a miraculous process in terms of looking at blood and making sure that that blood is safe to give individuals. We know a few cases where blood was given to individuals before 1985, and those individuals came down with the human immunovirus. But that that is rare today. It generally will not occur, and blood is very, very carefully assessed to make sure that that blood is safe for you. So we can't say unequivocally that there's absolutely no chance, but it's a very, 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 very small chance that anything might occur. So blood is safe. Who can donate blood? Well, you know, you need to know your blood type, and they will type and match your blood when you go to donate blood. And it takes about an hour, roughly, to give blood these days. The American Red Cross does drives all over the city throughout the South. And we also have Life South is another one of the organizations that these drives so that they can, you know, get blood to give blood. Is it safe to receive blood from a donor? Well, one of the things that we do is to look at that blood carefully, not only in terms of what we normally think of as the A, B, and O system, and also the RH system. Those are the systems that we normally classify blood by. But there are some other activities, there are some other things on that red blood cell that we have to make sure that is matched and carefully matched as possible so that we don't have these reactions to blood. And that's what Jackie was talking about when she spoke of alloimmunization. For those who just want to know a little bit more about it, I'll tell you this. There's certainly more than 300 different sites on a red blood cell that may be different from one person to another. It's quite a bit more than 300. So while all of those are not important in terms of matching blood, I want to make sure that you don't think that we're matching blood on the basis of 300 different sites on the red blood cell. There may be as many as 10 that are of consideration and consequential. So we have to make sure that we're not giving blood, we're matching blood with respect to those. And these are actually proteins that sit on the side of the red blood cell.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Green. Is there a particular blood type that's needed more so than any other type of blood? You know, we hear about A blood, B blood, you know. Is there a particular type that is needed more so than anything else out there?
Well, there are the blood types that are there are fewer people in the population who have that blood type. I think AB is one of those.
Okay.
O is more universal. But you don't have to worry about that because – what's important is that if you do have a rare type,
mm-hmm.
That's extremely important because it's more difficult to find people to match you.
Oh, I got
you. So if you have, in fact, there are people who have rare blood types, and they are very highly sought after in terms of giving their blood out. We get calls from all over the place when we know a person who has one of these rare blood types. We get calls to refer those individuals in. It's lucrative, but I don't think we want to talk about it. Blood is we like to think of blood as something that we give because it's needed by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time there was a time when people were paid for blood, but that generally is not the case anymore because it turns out that we have inequities in the process of getting and giving blood when that happens. So blood is, while it's extraordinarily valuable, we don't like to think of it as in terms of paying people for blood. One of the questions along the route, interestingly enough, was can blood be made in the laboratory?
Mm-hmm.
And And that's arousing. What was the answer to that? It's an unequivocal no. No, we have not been able to make blood. Blood is, of course, in general, made up of three major components. There's plasma in blood, which is the fluid component of blood. And, of course, there's the red blood cell, which is all important in terms of sickle cell because of the hemoglobin that's in the red blood cell. Of course, this is the protein. By the way, we talk about this iron. Iron is a part of that hemoglobin molecule. It really just sits right in the center of it and does some very special things there. The other thing, of course, in blood is platelets. So when you donate blood, you actually are donating three different major components. That's plasma, red blood cells themselves, and, of course, the platelets. So and actually, the way they count it is, you know, when you make one donation, it's actually three donations.
Three.
Actually three donations.
Yeah, I just went through that. Yeah. Okay.
So blood is, it cannot be made. We have not made blood yet, and I'm sure there are people who are working on this, researchers all over the world are perhaps even trying to do this. But as of yet, we have not been able to construct the blood. Blood is just extraordinarily valuable.
It's priceless.
Yes.
Priceless. You're right. It's priceless.
Of course, it doesn't matter who you receive blood from. No, I mean, it doesn't really, you don't really match person to person. Your blood is donated to an organization such as the American Red Cross. If someone gives blood in your behalf, that doesn't mean they're going to give that blood to you.
Right.
But it becomes a part of the supply that counts for you.
Okay.
So that's very, and one time there was a kind of matching program like that, but they really generally don't get into that. You give blood, the blood is in the supply, it helps everybody. And one of the things you have to understand is that blood doesn't last forever. Blood has a shelf life of its own.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, it only lasts about 42 days.
Wow.
And after that, it's no longer useful.
That's okay. So important to be continuously a blood donor.
Blood donor.
Yeah. Blood donor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and when I say important, and I made that point earlier, when you think about giving blood, it's not just to give blood one time. It's something that you can do on a fairly frequent basis. And there are people who actually give blood on a very frequent basis.
Is there a minimum age, Dr. Green, to give blood? Do I have to be a particular age to give blood? Do I? Is there an expiration? I mean,
well,
can I not give blood after a certain age?
Generally, you don't have blood being donated by children.
Okay.
But, you know, generally, when people start to hit their teens, depends also on weight and size. Sometimes people are too small. It has to do with the volume of blood.
Okay.
And then the other thing, too, is if a person is, you know, they're going to test you and all when you go to give blood.
Mm-hmm.
If you're anemic the count is low, you're not going to be able to give blood.
Okay.
But what you mean by count, again, we're getting back to the hematocrit or the amount of red, the amount of hemoglobin.
Okay.
You've got to have so much yourself. You can't give it away. If you give it away, then you're going to be in short supply.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I do just want to mention real quickly, if you have a question that you would like to ask one of our certified hemoglobinopathy counselors that are here with us tonight, or if you have a question that you would like to ask Dr. Green about the blood donations, feel free to call us in. The live number is 515-602-9779. Again, that number is 515-602-9779.
I want to make one really important point here. And that's that the amount of giving of blood for people of color, in particular African Americans, the giving percentage is very low. Now, what's the consequence of that? Well, it means that we're going to have, first of all, a smaller amount of African American blood. It also means that we're not going to have blood that is diverse. In other words, blood that can be matched to many different people.
Okay.
So what we have to do is implore the public. We have to go to churches. We have to go everywhere we can go and ask people to give blood because it's extremely important insofar as the alloimmunization is concerned. If we don't diversify the blood, we don't have the types that all of us need. So we've got to give more blood, we've got to diversify that blood, and it's extremely important for us to become conscious of this in the African-American community because it's our people who are in shorter supply.
Well, Dr. Green, I know that Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia did host a blood drive just recently, and I was a part of the people that donated, and I was very proud about that. And are you guys having a blood drive, you know, sometime shortly here coming up? I know we have something planned in September for National Sickle Cell Awareness Month, but are we doing anything else before then?
Well, we actually are always working with the American Red Cross.
Okay.
Right south. We sit on committees and work with them in terms of their strategies for getting more blood in and getting blood diversified. So we're always working on.
Okay.
We actually do host our own drives every once in a while.
Okay.
Because we have a special population, again, the friends and relatives of people who are in the constituency that we serve. We like to have them give blood. So we try to conduct one, perhaps two. But we actually are working with them, these blood organizations, these blood supply organizations all the time, in helping them to do these various drives at churches and at fairs and other places where you will see the American Red Cross or the blood of the Life South blood trucks.
Okay.
So yes, we're always working. We do occasionally do it here.
Okay.
But even if we're not doing it here, we're doing it somewhere.
Okay, I understand.
Absolutely.
So Dr. Green, how would they find out more information about where to donate blood, what blood drives are coming on? Is there a particular site or somewhere that we can refer them to?
Well, you can always go to the American Red Cross blood site. The American Red Cross site as well as the Live South site.
Okay.
And they will tell you exactly where these drives are taking place.
Okay.
And they're taking place all the time. They have
okay.
They're fully staffed with individuals who do this. I've actually worked with them. For example, right here in our own community, and when I say community, I mean right here in the vicinity of the Sickle Cell Foundation, we have the YMCA up on Campbellton Road.
Okay.
And, of course, we did one there recently with the people at American Red Cross. So we join them on various drives, and we continue to do that. And hopefully, we did one in our race last year, the 37th annual race, but we didn't do one this year. One of the reasons that we didn't do it is because it was particularly cold last year.
Right.
And even though it was cold, we got a great yield, even though it was cold. But it's a very difficult day to give. We're not expecting runners and walkers to give on that day.
Okay.
We're expecting people who accompany them and come with them.
Oh, I got you right.
So,
okay.
Even though it's possible that they can give, we are not really after them in terms of giving blood on
okay.
those days.
Okay. Okay.
But the other thing, I just want to make sure that we keep emphasizing that it's so important for Blacks or African Americans to give blood.
Okay.
Because it goes back again to what Milford was saying, the alloimmunization, or what we are saying with that is when individuals that are African Americans and the sickle cell clients are African Americans, then you start reducing the possibility of all these antibodies building up because you have something that's unique and that's in common. But since we don't give blood, then you have a higher risk of those antibodies being developed because of individuals that they receive the blood from.
Yeah, okay. Blood matching is just
and the more they give, and no matter if you were saying diverse,
mm-hmm.
but the more African Americans receive blood from others, then it's going to be harder to cross match them.
Okay.
One of the other points that I'd like to make here is that in the sickle cell community, well, I shouldn't say in the sickle cell, in the general community, we've done a great deal of surveillance
okay.
to determine who actually is a sickle cell person. When you're a child and you are diagnosed in the national program, there's a follow through on this individual with us and other entities, clinical entities. And so they follow and work with that child. But once those children get to a point which we call transition, where they're transitioning from pediatric to adult care, they fall into a virtual abyss of no care.
Okay.
And so one of our major roles here is to find those individuals through surveillance and a number of other means and get them into what we call a registry.
Okay.
So that if we get them into one of our registries, and they're registers that are, and we talked about this before, they're patient-powered registers called Get Connected, That's really one of the major goals here is to connect those individuals such that all of this information that we're talking about is in a format that can be downloaded very quickly electronically, so that if they are somewhere in America, certainly, and hopefully in other parts of the world, this information can be downloaded from the internet very quickly, and so we know how many reactions that person has, mm-hmm. how many transfusions that person has. There is a history here, and mm-hmm. that is one of the major things that has happened is the surveillance which has taken place. And I must say, in all honesty, that this kind of work has helped tremendously, and it has come about because the federal government has seen the importance of this. The Health Services Research Resources Administration, which is HRSA, we call it by short, and also the Centers for Disease Control, they have seen fit to fund programs that have helped us to increase the surveillance so that we can find out who has the disease, how much planning do we need to do for this disease. We're talking about people having to be rushed to hospitals. Are hospitals ready for this? We have to have that kind of surveillance so that we know how to plan for health care so that we can help these individuals and make sure that they, and people are living. We're doing well with this. They're beginning to live.
Well with sickle cell.
Well with sickle cell.
People are living well with sickle cell. Absolutely.
It is not a pronouncement of it's over. No, people are surviving. They're thriving almost.
They're thriving. That's right. Living well with sickle cell. Well, Dr. Green, I would like to thank you so much for your input tonight, for your vast knowledge, and for your experience that you've brought to the Blog Talk Radio tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, what we would like to do now is kind of kick it off with Miss Beverly Sinclair. And she's going to talk to you about something that we're very excited about in our partnership with the firefighters here inside of the metropolitan area. So she's going to talk about a boot drive, the importance of it, and how you can help show your support. So, Beverly Sinclair.
All right, Tabitha. I want everyone out there that's listening to look out for the Atlanta firefighters who will be out the first three Fridays in May doing a boot drive. Now, that date is May the 5th, May 12th, and May 19th. You will see them out there with their boots, and it's hot, and they're out there anyway, raising funds for some very deserving organizations. And one of those organizations is the Sickle Cell Foundation. And the other organizations that this fund goes to help is the Muscular Dystrophy Association of Greater Georgia, the Georgia Firefighters Burn Foundation, and a foundation called the Gold Seal Foundation. So when you see these firefighters out there working hard in the sun, please drop your nickels, dimes, quarters. We prefer that you drop some
that we can't hear.
I mean, we can't hear. But the firefighters have been doing this for many years, and we have been recipients of this fundraising. And it's very important because this fundraising goes to help us to continue our programs that serve our clients that so need it. So when you see them out there, don't run over them, okay?
Dangerous out there. I used to think that those guys were out there just to show off their musculature, how well off they are.
Those
guys are really working in there.
Want me to make sure to let the Atlanta citizens know that they are not out there raising money for themselves.
Okay.
They are raising money for four needed organization.
Okay.
And the first, they do two boot drives. They do one in May that goes towards the Georgia Firefighters Burn Foundation and Sickle Cell. Then they do another one in October, and that's for the Gold Shield Foundation and the MDA Greater Georgia. So, ladies, gentlemen, children, aunts, uncles, whoever.
Everybody.
Go in and help support these firefighters. Now, they're going beyond their call of duty. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that they do a fantastic job with helping the citizens of Atlanta. We know we've had some things that go on in Atlanta with the collapsing of the bridge, and we know those guys put their lives on the line each and every day for the citizens of Atlanta.
Yes, they do.
So when you see them out there, you stop
reach in, drop something that we can't hear. If you don't have that, put whatever you can in, because you know that they are out there to support these four wonderful organizations. So look out for them the May 5th, the 12th, and the 19th. They will be doing their annual boot drive.
Well, thank you so much, Beverly.
And if you're out there and you got some cold water, drop them off some cold water.
Okay.
And have the money ready when you get there. You don't have to reach down in your wallet, but you may hold a package.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I hope that you are as informed as I've been tonight, you know, definitely educated. You know, we say you are living well with sickle cell. You can always visit us by coming to www.sicklecellga.org. Feel free to give us a call. The number you can call us on is 404-755-1641. If you have not been tested for sickle cell, please go to sicklecelltest.org, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead on and call in, set up your appointment. Testing is so incredibly important. Here at Sickle Cell, we are furthering our mission by ensuring that we are engaging, we're educating, as well as energizing our community. And as a result of that, people are living well with sickle cell. We would like to thank you so much for joining us tonight on our Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we will convene here again on May the, let me tell you when it is. It is going to be in May. It's the third week in May. We'll come back to you. Look on our website. Check us out on social media, Facebook. You can tweet us on Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram. Feel free to post, share with us on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, we have so many different mediums that you can communicate with us on. So, again, thank you so much for your attention tonight, and we'll hear from you in May. Take care. And Jackie, thank you. Beverly, thank you. Dr. Milford, thank you. Good night. Have a wonderful night. Share the news, and we'll hear you back here again in 1 month. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Great.